Welcome to God's Acre on the Go, a worship podcast of the Congregational Church of New Canaan in New Canaan, Connecticut. To learn about the life of our church, our in-person ministries, and the virtual connections and offerings available, please visit us at www.godsacre.org. Now, wherever you are, wherever you are going, we welcome you to worship.
Church family, good morning. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to God's Acre on the Go. Wherever you happen to be, wherever you're traveling, wherever you might be vacationing, we're so grateful to have you tuning into this worship podcast. We're going to start a five-part sermon series that will run through the remainder of the summer with a couple of breaks in between as I travel a little bit. But it's going to be a sermon series entitled Fishing for Jesus, and we're going to look at a number of stories in the Gospels where Jesus and fishing kind of go hand in hand, and we're going to look at the story of Jesus calling Peter away from his boat and his fishing nets in the fifth chapter of the Gospel of Luke. But before we do that, I want to have you prepare your hearts and minds for the word the Lord desires to share with you as we listen to our morning's anthem shared by my good friend Daniel Carmel, the fisherman and boatsman of the Sea of Galilee, as he sings for us, "Draw Me Close."
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do, 'cause nothing else could take your place to feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find a way, bring me back to you. Many altar, no other guest about your day. Rak be'ahavatcha, ata benishmati. ולא אחר, כי אין אחר כאן מלבדך. אחוש את חום אהבתך, אתה כל כמיהתי, האר לי את דרכי. אתה
So we are looking in the fifth chapter of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verses 1, and we'll read to verse 11. It says, "Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret," that's another name for the Sea of Galilee, "and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Now he got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then Jesus sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he'd finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch.' Simon answered, saying, 'Master, we've worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets.' Now, when they'd done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come help them, and they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Go away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man.' For he and all who were with him were just amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken, and so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people.'" Notice, it doesn't say fishing for people. In this text, it says, "From now on, you will be catching people." "When they brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed Jesus." The word of God for the people of God. Let's take a moment and pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word. And I thank you for the time that people in our community, physically present and those that are traveling and those that are distant, carve out of their lives, take time, make time to meditate upon your word and to be present with us for worship. So we pray that something of your spirit captures us and captivates us and moves us in our time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I don't know if you know or remember the name of the largest church in the world, the largest Christian church. Do you know it? It's St. Peter's Basilica in Vatican City, named for, as you might guess, a fisherman from Galilee who became a student of Jesus. Now, on paper, Simon Peter, that is one and the same person, Simon Peter, on paper, he's an unlikely candidate for academic success. His credentials were less than impressive. He was a laborer, not an intellectual, which is not a bad thing. It's just who he was, which meant that he was qualified to fish, really qualified to fish, but not particularly well qualified to study scripture. Now, Simon Peter lived in a small house in a lakeside town that no one thought of as particularly significant. In fact, the entire region of Galilee was considered something of a cultural backwater in antiquity. You may remember when it was learned that Jesus was from Nazareth, the question posed in the Gospels is, can anything good come from Nazareth? Indicating that, no, it can't. And then in the Gospel of John, the Pharisees kind of dismissed claims of Jesus' prophetic ministry by stating flatly, "Search the scriptures and you will see that no prophet is to arise from Galilee." So expectations for religious teachers and students from Galilee were just extremely low. And I'll tell you, to this day, Galilee is kind of a oddly overlooked corner of the Holy Land, particularly for Israelis. Em and I once traveled, one of our pilgrimages to Israel was with a Jewish group that we were friends with. And yet on that trip, there wasn't a single stop in Galilee on the itinerary, not one. See, Galilee doesn't hold a whole lot of religious interest for Jews. And this hit home again for me a couple of weeks ago when I was getting food at a market in Ginosar in Israel. We were there, and we've been there enough where we actually go, and whether it's a restaurant or a market, we actually go where kind of the locals go. We rarely go where tourists go. And so we were at this market that is frequented mainly by Israeli kibbutz farmers. And this young Israeli woman who is at the meat counter serving, took me, it was my turn, and she asked me with great interest, "Why are you here? And where are you from?" And I said, "Well, I'm from the U.S., which I thought was obvious. So I went on and said, "Well, I'm from Connecticut." And again, she quizzically asked me, "Okay, but why are you here?" And then almost immediately, another market worker kind of came up to me and asked the same thing, "Where are you from?" And I said, "The U.S., Connecticut." And he said, "Well, I know California, I know Colorado, I don't know Connecticut. And why are you here?" Now, I said to them, well, I'm here because I'm a Christian and I love kind of visiting where Jesus began his ministry. And I looked at them both, and they were clearly unmoved by my answer. See, Israelis don't really understand interest in Galilee. It was true in Jesus' day, and it turns out it's still true today. Not much happened in that region in the scriptures until you get to what we consider the New Testament. So that means that questions and doubts about the region still linger. You know, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Might be the implied question. Or you're unlikely to find any prophets or points of interest in Galilee. I think about those two market workers and the rather low esteem they had for their own home region. I think sometimes, maybe oftentimes, we can't perceive our own significance, right? We underestimate ourselves and our surroundings. We may lack vision for our own possibility, our own promise. We may lack an understanding of our own value. But good news, Jesus is able to see in us what we are unable to see in ourselves. No matter how we may feel about ourselves, Jesus wants to work with us. And I think that's part of the message of this story. So, on the morning in question, according to the scripture, Jesus stepped into Peter's boat, Simon Peter's boat, incidentally, without asking permission. He just got in. All Peter was likely thinking about at that moment, though, was a night full of work with nothing to show for the effort. Nets and stomachs were going empty. Have you ever worked to exhaustion and had absolutely nothing to show for it? When that happens, it's frustrating at best and can be utterly disheartening at worst. I think we can hear the fatigue in Peter's response to Jesus' request for a fishing charter after a full morning of teaching and preaching. Jesus says, let's go out for a catch. And Peter responds, Master, we've worked all night long and we've caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets. It ain't going to work, but if it will make you happy, we will humor you, Master, and as tired as we are. I suspect Peter is not the only one who struggles at times to envision possibilities in the midst of disappointment. There's a saying many of us who fish recreationally employ when we've had a less than successful fishing trip. We say, well, that's why it's called fishing and not catching. You know, fishermen and women tend to spend a heck of a lot more time casting about than reeling anything in on the end of the line, which makes the conclusion of this story, to my mind, all the more interesting. I mean, Peter and his partners had fished all night and failed, right? But by the end of the story, Jesus invited those boys into a catching activity. I think this is significant in the Gospel of Luke. Jesus didn't say, don't be afraid, from now on you will be fishing for people. No, no, no. Jesus said, do not be afraid, from now on you will be catching people. With Jesus, Peter and his partners would not merely be fishing about, they would be catching. And catching the lives of men and women and children, no less. I mean, how extraordinary. How, for these guys, how unimaginable. And yet, how true it would turn out to be. You know, we know the story. We know how the story goes. We know how the church community grew, how people were caught up in it because of their efforts, the efforts of those fishermen. See, with the Lord, lives can move from relative obscurity to maximum impact. It can happen for Peter, it can happen for us. You know, it's been said that Jesus doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called, or Jesus doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. Either way, it's this expression of Jesus' ability to take, for instance, Peter, an academic underperformer, and prepare and empower that individual for a world-transforming preaching and teaching ministry, to go from a fisherman in Galilee to a named cathedral in the Vatican. You know, no matter what Peter thought about himself, what I love about this story is that Jesus clearly saw incredible potential in that fisherman, and Jesus decided to work with him. In fact, what we see here is Jesus gave Peter a job right there on the spot. See, Jesus can do more with you. Jesus can do more with me than we can ever imagine for ourselves. Paul speaks of this in his letter to the Ephesians, and I love it. He says this. He says that Jesus, by the power at work within us, is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask and imagine. Jesus can do more with us than we can possibly imagine or ask for. You can't out-ask or out-imagine our Lord. Now, With all that said, there may have been some characteristics unique to Peter that allowed him to become all that Jesus envisioned him to be. And I think the first thing that is significant that we might overlook is Peter's vocation. He was a fisherman. I mean, have you ever wondered why the first four disciples were in the fishing trade? The happenstance, you know, that was who Jesus was interacting with in Capernaum in his hometown, perhaps. But, you know, fishermen, whether it's commercial or recreational, fishermen possess a rather undaunted resolve. People who are passionate about fishing never get put off by getting skunked. You know, if a fisherman fishes all night and catches nothing, which is what it means to be skunked, it oddly fuels the desire to go back the very next night. I'll tell you, a few years ago, I hooked into what was clearly a really significant fish as I was kind of just messing around with a rod in the Sea of Galilee, and it was that lost fish that prompted me to go back this time with the correct rod and tackle to go after that same kind of fish. It's just what fishermen do. See, I suspect Jesus viewed the unique patience and persistence of fishermen as an asset in his venture to catch people up in faith. I mean, there's a lot of casting about in ministry without much apparent success. And fishermen know how to deal with that lack of production. Just keep casting, keep at it, go back out again and again and again. And the second thing I notice about Peter is that he was remarkably honest and humble with himself and with the Lord. I mean, people who lie or deceive themselves are rarely successful at much of anything for very long. But in the presence of Jesus and Jesus' holiness, the story says Peter fell to Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." Translation, "Lord, I am a screw-up, and you don't want anything to do with me." That's honesty. That's humility. And it turns out Peter was both right and wrong. Peter was right about being a screw-up. We know the many blunders that he engaged in during the gospel ministries. So Peter was right about that, but he was wrong about Jesus' need to get away from him. See, Jesus has a lot to work with when presented with someone who is honest and humble, even if, like Peter, they have a propensity for massive blunders. And the final thing I want you to notice about Peter is that he was obedient, right? Obedience tends not to be the most coveted personal characteristic these days. You know, freedom, independence, the ability to do our own thing. Those are the impulses we tend to aspire to. But in the life of faith, when working with Jesus, obedience is essential. Obedience, the ability to follow instructions, the ability to take direction, the willingness to learn and grow and change. You know, to go from fishing in obscurity in Galilee to maximum impact and visibility in the Vatican, that takes nothing less than an act of God working through you. I'm just going to put that out there. But when we are persistent and patient, when we are humble and honest, when we're willing to be obedient to the desires of the Lord, our positive effect on the world broadens and it deepens. Okay, so for those of you who say, you know what, I'm ready. Sign me up. Send me, Lord. Lord, I've lived enough for myself. I've spent enough time satiating my own desires. I am ready to live for more than my own interests. For those of you that are in that place, the question that follows is, how do we hear the call? How do we learn the Lord's way? How do we catch the vision God has for us? Well, I'm going to just share some things that I know you know and you've heard me say for years now. First, read and listen to the Word. Crack open that Bible, even if you don't fully understand it. Sometimes you read that word and you get the sense that the word was intended for you. Right now I'm reading through the book of Leviticus. It's a book of laws, third book in the Bible, and most folks find it dry and boring. I'm finding it enlivening. You know, you turn to that Bible and it can be as if the Lord is speaking to you. The other is engage in Christian community. Listen to the insight and guidance of people of faith. You know, enter a small group. Sometimes it's in that communal gathering where someone can speak to you, and it is from the Holy Spirit. I want to also say, listen and trust to the Spirit's prompting within you. I want to be clear. I'm not talking about a kind of Jiminy Cricket, let your conscience be your guide. No. It's deeper than that. See, God's Spirit dwells within you. God's Spirit dwells within you. And when you feel the prompting of that Spirit within you to do or be something that is good, have the courage to follow that internal and sacred leading. And finally, I say this with hesitation, but, you know, listen to a preacher you hopefully trust, because every once in a while, these feeble words might be the very words God intends for you. So, what might be that word for you today? What might be that word for me? Well, I think some of us might be fishing about right now for some deeper sense of purpose in our life. All the while, Jesus is calling us to catch a more expansive vision for our lives. Jesus can imagine more for you, and you need to hear this. Jesus can imagine more for you than you can imagine for yourself. Now, no matter how you feel about yourself, Jesus sees amazing potential in you and wants to work with you. Jesus believes you to be salt of the earth and light to the world. Jesus believes you have the power to bring healing and hope to your family, to your circle of friends, to your church, to your community. Jesus believes you can transform the organizations you work with and run into institutions that not only do well, but also do good. That tug on your heart, that prompting in your soul, that longing to do and be something more for others, that is likely God's call on your life. It's the Lord trying to tell you that it's time to stop aimlessly casting about in your little pond, for there's a sea of possibility and a world full of people who need to be caught. And with a little patience and persistence, with a degree of honesty and humility, and with a touch of obedience, there is no limit, no limit to what the Lord can accomplish through you. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, help us to catch your vision. Help us to gain a sense of your hopes, your desires for us. Help us to be obedient to your leading so that we can find ourselves ushered into the extraordinary work you want to engage in with us. So Lord, we ask for the courage to follow when we sense that leading, and we offer our lives up to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, church family, it's into another week. So I usher you or invite you into this week with the words of the priestly benediction that we know well. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with kindness and give you peace now and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Worship on the Go. To support this podcast and the ministries of our church, please consider making a contribution by clicking the Give button in the top right on our website, www.godsacre.org, or within today's email. God bless you and have a wonderful week.